The word why, what a curious word. The kind of word that can make us cringe, feel defensive, or even distant. But you know, sometimes why is the key. The key that can unlock so much to our lives. Join me as we explore the why with fascinating contributors to the world. Those that entertain us, inform us, teach us about life, and if we're lucky, inspire the next in all of us. I'm your host, Dr. Rod Berger. And welcome to Headroom, a production of Rainlight and co-produced by Old Soul. Let's go.
All right, Guy Fieri, great to spend some time with you today. Look, I want to talk about your partnership with Sammy Hagar, obviously the Red Rocker. Why tequila for you?
Tequila is a happy drink. It's happy booze. I don't know. I've always been a tequila fan. I think that tequila, unfortunately, got a really bad rap in the 70s and 80s, because I don't think the tequila was probably that good back then, or at least we weren't getting good tequila. And people were masking tequila with all kinds of stuff. And but I think people drank tequila because it is a fun booze. I mean, it does. I think it makes people happy. And I think that it reminds you of fun times. I mean, Mexico is always a blast. Cruises are always a good time. Margaritas are delicious. You know, so I think all those connotations or all those connectors really make it something cool. And then I was a huge Sammy Cabo Wabo fan. So my restaurant in Northern California, a place called Tex Wasabi's, we sold more Cabo Wabo than anybody in Northern California. And we sold we were the leaders. That's actually the way I ended up meeting Sammy, like officially meeting him. I'd met him at concerts and stuff, but really got
to. You were a good customer.
I was a big fan and a good customer. And that's kind of how it got started. And he called me one day and he told me it sold. He told me it sold Cabo Wabo. And I was heartbroken. I said, "How can you do that to us, Sammy?" And he said, "Hey, listen, man, when they offer you $100 million, you got to do what you got to do." I'm like, "Well, I'll give you points on that." So I said, "Hey, if you ever do it again, Sam, if you ever do tequila again, would you call me?" He says, he calls me Guy Bones. Guy Bones.
Guy Bones.
Can't do it, man. Guy, don't know where it came from. That's what he calls me, Guy Bones. He says, "Guy Bones, can't do it. Guy had a side of thing. Can't ever do it again." I said, "How long is it ever again?" He says, 10 years. I said, "Call me in 10 years. Oh, man. So I said, "All right." So he calls me about almost like 12 years to the day. He calls me. He says, "And I'm out there building a fence on my ranch and they're watching someone build a fence, lining up." So I'm doing something in the heat. So I'm not really in the
You're overseeing. Really
in the heat. I'm not really in the let's have a big discussion. Guy Bones, Sammy. And every time you talk to Sammy, it's like talking to a guy that's in a rock concert. "Yeah, what's up, Sam?" "Hey, you in?" "Yeah, Sammy, I'm in." "What?" "You in, yes or no?" I said, "Sammy." "Yeah, what?" He goes, "Yes or no, you in?" I said, "Yeah, Sammy." He goes, "We in the tequila business, baby." That was it. Send me a bunch of money. We're going to go. We're going to kill it. He goes, so he gives me a rundown. I got the same tequila guy, same guy Juan Eduardo that was making Cabo Wabo back in the day. And this whole thing. And he goes, "I got it all set up. We're going to do this. We're going to crush it." And we started out with the mezquila. And I'm like, "What is this?" And he goes, "It's half mezcal and half tequila." "I hate mezcal." He goes, "Me too." He goes, "That's why we're making mezquila. You know, all the smokiness, you know, all the parts you live about mezcal, but not all the dirty ashtray." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, this is crazy." So little by little, we did the mezquila, then we did the blanco, then we did the repo. And then we did a single barrel repo, and then we did the airline bottles. And now we're just sitting on the precipice of our añejo to come out. But it's been amazing, man. Sammy's such a great business partner and such a character and such a piece of work and has such a vision. And oh my God, what a palate. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Take me back to the awesome pretzel cart. Were those the first days of being an entrepreneur?
Well, there was quite a few businesses when I was a kid. I was kicked out of the Kool-Aid business by my dad. That's how I started the pretzel business, because my dad caught me with a purple arm. I'd lost my Kool-Aid stirring stick. My dog took it. And so I had a purple arm. My dad busts me. He says, "That's it. You're out of the Kool-Aid business. You can't stir the Kool-Aid with your arm." I lived in this little town called Ferndale, up in the Victorian village of Ferndale, up in Northern California. So this little angelic town, I mean, a really amazing place. Great. We still have our home up there. And we still have a couple buildings that we own on Main Street. But this amazing place to grow up. And a lot of tourists would come through. So I always had some kind of business of selling something. I was always, in, you know, it's something to do with food or drink. You know, I'd buy penny candy from the candy store and sell it for a nickel across the street with my own little booth made out of cardboard. And people couldn't believe a little five-year-old kid was hustling. That's how I made money.
When right? did you, yeah, guys. So I think people, when they think about you, they think about somebody that is incredibly astute at understanding brand and the impact brand can have on opportunity. Was there a moment for you when you realized that your name, sort of your look, was almost not separate from yourself, but when you realized it was something that you wanted to cultivate?
I don't know that there was an aha moment, but there was definitely a it was coming to fruition type of moment. And that, I can't tell you exactly when it was, but I had an old timer named Jack LaVar, and he was my, basically my first real manager. And he was an advertiser, he had a little advertising agency. And that's how I met him, because I went and he used to come to my restaurant. And I went and asked him if he'd help me market my restaurant. And so when I got on TV and started doing stuff, Jack was the first one that I thought to call and said, hey man, I have no idea how to handle all this TV stuff. You want to come help me? But here's me and 65-year-old Jack, you know, going to the Persian Gulf and going, you know, cross country doing stuff. And he told me, I signed my name one time, the first big event I ever did. I signed my name on all these aprons. And I signed my check signing name, GRF, Guy Ramsey Fieri. And Jack said, he said, what's that? I said, that's my signature. He goes, he says, what does it say? I said, it says GRF. He says, that's horrible. I said, all the race car drivers, football players, that's how they sign theirs. He says, you're not a race car driver. You're not a football player. You're a cook. Hey, you're gonna be a household name one day. He says, and you have a name that nobody else has. You have Guy. He says, that's a unique name. So I wrote Guy. Just the right guy. I do it now. He goes, that's your signature from now on. And that became it. He says, if you're lucky enough to have a name that's just Guy, there's not a lot of guys. I mean, there's Guy Ritchie, Guy, I don't know who else. I mean, I knew a couple guys in my hometown. I lived in that little town of Ferndale. Believe it or not, there were two guys. There was Guy Hicks and Guy Torelli and me. So in a town of 1,400 people, three people named Guy. But that was it. So that's when I kind of got this idea, like, you know, a little bit different, a little bit different background, a little bit different attitude, a little bit different style. Didn't do tattoos and bleached hair and earrings and all that stuff to be on TV. I was already a mess then before I got that. I got that stuff from Sammy. I walked into Sammy's dressing room. First time I met him, I go walk in and he goes, look at you. And I look at him and he goes, what's up? And I go, excuse me. I go, Sammy, where do you think I got it from, man? I was always a big Sammy fan. You know, I was listening to Sammy since I was in sixth grade or before that. But, yeah, pretty crazy. But I think that was kind of around the beginning of when I got the idea that there was something to monetize. But, you know, I'm also a big firm believer that you can't squeeze things too hard. You can't push too much out of it. You know, you just get the extra virgin olive oil of it. You get the first press and don't push it too hard.
So if you reflect back, I mean, look, in what, 2019, you're in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I mean, would a kid from Ferndale have ever thought that would have been possible, given what you were wanting to do, whether you were hustling candy on the corner or stirring Kool-Aid with your arm?
Stirring Kool-Aid. I love that's what you remember. Yeah, the purple arm kid. I used to sell my toys. Set up a little booth and sell my toys. People would buy my toys and then go into this business next door, which is my parents' leather shop. My parents were hippies. And they would give back the toys they just thought it was so cute. I had little price tags on them. I went and got the price tags. My parents made leather price tags and wrote the numbers on them. So I went and got leather price tags and wrote the numbers on them. Sold my dump truck. I must have sold it 100 times. But I always had, you know, I was wheeling and dealing. But no, could I ever think of this? No. I mean, people ask me all the time, is this a dream come true? And I'm like, I couldn't dream this shit up. I mean, come on. I was running restaurants in Los Angeles, right next to the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and would go there, you know, saw so many of the great stars. I remember being down there in LA, you know, doing shows. I did a big show for NBC one time called Minute to Win It. And I was down there doing that show. I never even when I walked down there, I've never looked at it and said, well, you know, one day I'll have my star here in the Walk of Fame. Never in a million years. So that was a pretty neat thing. And it was kind of a serendipitous, melancholy. There's a big word that I can't spell. But my dad was battling pancreatic cancer. And my dad's my hero. You know, he's my Superman. And he's the one that's probably, you know, he and my mom have been the greatest supporters. They're the kind of parents that if you thought you could fly, they'd sure the hell give you a shot at it. And they did everything. They always supported me in all my crazy endeavors. And I had a lot of them. But anyhow, my dad got pancreatic cancer, and I just lost my little sister to cancer, you know, 9 years prior. And he gets this cancer, and I'm sitting there getting this award, getting told it's going to be like 9 months until it happens. And I'm just praying that my dad will live, that he'll make it. And pancreatic, you guys know, is bad. Not only did he make it, he beat it. And, you know, right now we're 3 years cancer-free, but having my sons, having my parents, my wife, my closest friends, a couple big shot celebrities, Matthew McConaughey and all those folks there. Still surreal. I mean, still like, I'll sometimes forget it. Not forget it, but I'll sit back and just go, fuck, that was crazy. What was going on? And the Food Network threw me. I will tell you a funny story, though. Food Network says, okay, so after the award, where would you like to have your luncheon? I said, luncheon? What luncheon? They said, well, you're going to have luncheon after you... After you think, you know, do you want to go to Beverly Hills Hilton or the Beverly Hills? We'll show tell you. And I go, I don't want to go to a goddamn hotel, have a luncheon. Do I look like a luncheon type person? I said, I want to have a kegger. I want to have, you know, 1,000 fans, a kegger, and I want Motley Crue to play.
Headroom is produced by Old Soul, a one-stop marketing agency that understands the power of brand and nuance. Reach out to my guy, Matt, at Old Soul and supercharge your brand and content strategy. That's Old Soul. Shoot Matt a note at aoldsoul.com. That's aoldsoul.com. And now, back to our guest.
That was just left of center of what they thought, guy.
Completely by a million yards. And the phone went dead. And I'm like, no, okay, but seriously, what do you want to do? And I said, no, that's what I want. I'll pay for it. That's what I want. Like, we can't do that. We can't have 1,000 fans. I said, okay, forget the 1,000 fans, 1,000 friends. I have 1,000 of my friends that want to come. Well, they said, we'll have to get back to you. So my manager, Reed, calls me and says, what's going on? I said, if I'm getting a star, I sure the hell am not going to have a luncheon. We are going to throw down. This is going to go off the hook. Well, Food Network, Erica Slavin is her name. Erica is one of the greatest people in the world. And Erica puts together it was the most over-the-top, outrageous. I think they had to spend $1 million on it. I really think they did. It was Cirque du Soleil, drinks, velvet couches, out in the middle of the parking lot at the Palladium, and Foreigner played an acoustic set. Wow. And my buddy carries the lead singer, Foreigner. And it was the most amazing thing. It was incredible. So that night, but this is how crazy this got. We did the party. We had to wrap the party at 5:00 just as it started to rain, you know, standing in the rain with my head hung low, just as it starts to rain, standing there with my best friends, my kids, my nephew, smoking cigars, listening to Foreigner play, drinking tequila, and we, you know, the day wraps. So we all take off and go down the street to Mahoney's, and get tattoos, big star tattoos. And then that night we went to my other buddy's big mansion in Beverly Hills, had another band, one of my favorite bands from Northern California, called Wonder Bread 5, and they played a set, and Brett Michaels showed up. And so it was awesome.
I would say that that encapsulates quite a career. Guy, what is your, how would you depict your relationship with success through the years? Has it changed?
I don't think it's really changed. You got to really respect it. You have to respect it. You have to honor it. You have to appreciate every day of it. You have to realize it didn't come for free and it can leave tomorrow. And if you don't embrace it with the integrity and the success of the, you know, if you don't live the moment, none of it's, you can't take it for granted. That's for sure. You can't, you got to treat every single situation, every single person, every single engagement, every single time, you know, it's just, you don't want, it's like, I feel bad, you know, giving you just my forehead for the conversation. You got here on the principles and the ideals and the activities and all of that. That's what got you to the table. And, you know, my best advice or my, what my mantra is to continue that, continue, you know, the success continues on. But I was never a big money driven person. You know, I always liked to have money in my pocket. But it was funny, I opened my first restaurant and I'm standing outside my first restaurant, the lights are on, the place is packed, there's a line down the street. My buddy Brian Baglietto, my buddy from college, still a real good friend of mine, standing out there. And he said, "You're gonna be really successful." My nickname is Guido. He says, "Gleeds, you're gonna be really successful." And I said, "Why do you say that?" And he goes, "Oh, just to keep up with all your habits. Because I love cars. I love excess. I love doing crazy things. I love going on adventure. I love, you know, just," and he goes, "You just need to be successful just to pay for all your shit." And it was so funny because I laugh about it all the time that, you know, I don't really live elaborately, but I do have fun things, and I do, like, I love cars. You know?
Let's close with this, guy. Well, I know you're headed to the game. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs? It doesn't have to be that they are in the culinary arts or that they're going to be what they might imagine or hope to be the next guy, even though there are three guys from Ferndale. What advice do you have for them, not just on the creative side, but as entrepreneurs?
Well, I think it's a great question. There's multiple facets to it. Let's just go to the basic one. We live in the greatest country in the world. If you don't believe that and you don't embrace that, it's kind of like not recognizing that the NBA is an unbelievable. Are the refs perfect? No. Do the Warriors get fouled more than anybody else and get called for more fouls than anybody else? Yes. My son's laughing. We're the greatest country in the world. You could be anything you want in this country. Immigrants come to this country and kick ass and take names. Our families, most all of us are immigrants. My family's immigrants, you know? And so we come to this country for the land of opportunity because it's a land of opportunity. Seize that moment. Have that opportunity. What are you waiting for? But you have to be in the mindset. Now, the mindset comes from a lot of things. You know, the mindset can come from your family. The mindset can come from your teacher. It could come from somebody you admire. It could come from reading Entrepreneur. You know, the mindset's got to get straight. But it's kind of like, you know, choose your paradigm. You either want to get it that we have the greatest opportunities in the world and we can prevail, or you want to not think about it and you just want to stand in line and go the way that the flow goes. That's fine. The flow needs to go the way it goes for some folks. But I think that first and foremost, it's the environment that we live in. This is a very fertile environment to be successful. Two, hard work. Or three, got to get your mindset right. Got to have the right mindset. You got to look at it and I am going to win. I am going to prevail. I am going to be successful. I am going to do what it takes to get there. Three, hard work. I mean, just don't misunderstand it. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what your education is. Okay, none of that matters anything. if you're not going to put hard work into it. And that's so funny because you could have a motor, you could have gasoline, you could have a $10 million jet engine, gasoline, you could have everything. If you don't have spark, you don't got shit. So you kind of, you know, you could use that analogy of the engine a million different ways and all the little components, you know, got to have the plane. Okay. There's your America. You know, you got to have the spark. There's your inspiration. You got to have all these components of that to make it happen. But if you don't put them all together, then you're probably not going to get that thing off the ground. But hard work is probably one of the things that this country was founded on. You know, it's what people made the sacrifices of. It's what our veterans, it's all what all the folks in the military do to keep this country free. Hard work. Anybody wants to tell me there's no such thing as a 40-hour work week? Get that out of your mind. You got to work 24/7, or in my book, 25/8. But you also live 25/8. Don't make work and life separate. Make it the same thing. Put it all together. Enjoy that phone call from your kids when you're at work. And take that work call when you're at home. Be willing to, you got to be available. You know, it doesn't turn off. The world doesn't shut off. Hopefully your business is making money 24/7. You know, if it may not be open 24/7, but you'd like to be top of mind in people's thought process about whatever your business is, be it on social media or, you know, going through that rigmarole. I think those are some of the fundamental principles. But I getting back to that inspiration piece. There are so many people in this world, like myself, like your magazine, like Danny Palomino. Do you know Palomino?
I don't.
No, but he works with you guys. I don't even know Danny's last name. It's just Palomino. But I got to think of his name. You never heard the story of Danny Palomino? Oh, God. I got to ask her. Ask her around the office.
Okay.
But anyhow, find somebody that you admire and that is doing it, and just go ask them for some advice, ask them for some support. A good friend of mine, actually my CFO, her son plays baseball, big time baseball, and he's having a bad run, and she was telling me about it, and so I called him. Actually, I sent him a message, and I said, I don't play professional sports, but I'm in the professional environment, and you're letting some things get at you that you shouldn't. And let's just have a talk once a week for 5 minutes or, you know, for 5 hours. Let's just have a talk because I can help you in a little bit of the space that you're in. And I think that for those that are entrepreneurs and have that energy and have that spirit and have that background and have that success, amen, share it. And for those that need it, go find it. But we have to remember that's what this country was founded on. And I'm a huge patriot. I'm a huge patriot, if you can't tell. But I think that we have it. We have the power to be anything we want. Elon Musk, look what the man has done. You know, and love it or hate it, whatever people's opinion is. But the fact is, look what's happened. Look at all the inventions that this country has generated. We've done it all. Why? Because we're the land of opportunity. Because you can be anything you want to be.
Well, you're a fantastic symbol guy of that. And I know we haven't met before this at all, but you are, to me, what I've seen on TV. And the next time you're in Nashville, maybe we'll go to Hattie B's or something like that.
I was just in Nashville. I was just there. That's it. Well, I'll tell you a story. I was in Nashville staying at the Hutton. Is it called the Hutton?
It is.
Really nice hotel. So I'm staying. That's where I always stay when I go in. I love the Hutton. And I'm staying there and I got the suite. I was shooting Triple D just last week. And I'm walking down the hallway going to my room. And I bump into Sammy Hagar's tour manager. And he goes, Guy. I go, what's going on? He goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm staying here. I'm shooting a show. He goes, Sammy's next door talking to Clint Black. I go, what? And he goes, yeah, there's a concert hall right next door. I'm like, get out. So I walk in and there's Sammy and Clint Black doing an interview. And I ended up at the end of their interview, which is a televised interview. They tape it for the show. I end up walking up to the two of them with, you know, Santo Tequila. Because I had some in my room.
I figured.
Just blew Sammy's mind. He said, what the fuck? What are you doing here? So anyhow. But no, I love Nashville. I have a restaurant in Nashville, a chicken guy. And just bought a piece of property about 20 minutes outside of Nashville. So no, I'm a big fan. So yeah, no, I'll definitely look you up.
Well, Guy, keep up the great work. You're an inspiration to so many entrepreneurs out there, and it's been a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely, my friend. And thank you very much for answering made any sense, and that you're able to develop anything out of that. But if by chance I left you hanging with a non-complete thought or sentence, don't hesitate to call back and I'll make sure that I make it even more confusing.
Got it. Hey, safe travels to Africa. Thanks, Guy.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thanks for taking the plunge into Headroom, where we uncover the why behind the what and who impacting our lives. Headroom is a production of Rainlight and co-produced by our friends at Old Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Headroom.